How can you achieve and maintain business growth? Harvard Business School Executive Education is now accepting applications for a new program, Driving Profitable Growth. Taking place in Boston from October 25th through the 28th, this program focuses on business expansion and organizational growth strategies that can lead your company into the future. Learn more about this three-day program for senior leaders by visiting hbs.me/growth. That's hbs.me/growth.
You are Locked On Lakers, your daily podcast on the Los Angeles Lakers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team, every day.
Welcome, everybody, to the Locked On Lakers podcast. I am Anthony Irwin. I am joined by Harrison Fagan. We are going to get to the show here in a second. There isn't much going on, so we just kind of scraped a few topics together. I'll tell you about that in a second. But before we get to that, make sure you're following the show on Audio Boom, iTunes, Silver Screen and Roll, TuneIn, Stitcher, and today's Fast Break. And make sure you're using the promo code LOLAKERS on SeatGeek to get that $20 rebate. Today's show is going to be an interesting one. Apparently, fill rumors are still a thing. So Harrison and I are this might be the strongest you'll hear Harrison and I on a topic.
Not about the Lakers. And that was a really strong lead-in you had there, by the way, of, we tried to piece together a few things to talk about. Don't worry, guys, we got a good show for you today. I'll sell it. Oh, we're going to talk about Phil Jackson and the Lakers, and who doesn't want to hear more about that?
Yeah. Apparently, it's crap on Anthony Irwin Day when it comes to Julius Randle. So we'll take you through a terrible take Tuesday, and then we'll preview, by the time you're listening to this, tonight's game against the Brooklyn Nets. The Lakers should win that one. Let's go ahead and jump into the first topic. Where did this Phil stuff even come from? Because you mentioned it today, and I was just like, wait, what? How? Why?
Yeah, because you don't read. I always forget. But Jackie McMullen of ESPN, she did a pretty wide-ranging interview with Phil Jackson that was fairly interesting to read. He talked about why he doesn't vote for the president anymore. He talked about his relationship with Carmelo Anthony. He talked about a lot of stuff. But towards the end, most relevant to this podcast, he talked about the Lakers. And so I'm just going to read his response when she asked him about – so she asked him about the opt-out clause in his contract after the season. It says, do you plan to exercise it? And he says, I have not entertained that. I'm looking for this Knicks team to get back into a situation where they are competitive. Do I have to win a championship before I feel I've done the job I've been asked to do, which is bring this group back to that competitive level? No, I don't. Well, okay, so that's good that he's not setting the bar too high for himself. But so then he goes on to say, we're starting to make progress. I like a lot of the things that we're doing here, but we've got more to do. And so then she talked about the Jim Buss deadline, and she said that it's unlikely that Jim Buss is going to meet that deadline. Why not go back and run your old team? And so here's what Jackson had to say to that. They're moving forward in the right direction. Luke has them engaged. Brian is an associate head coach. They have a core group of guys that will get it done. It was never important to me to go back and be a part of that, especially not now. I have this job, this commitment. And then he goes on to talk about, people have talked about how he has an opt-out clause next summer, and he just basically said that that's there just in case there was a lockout so that he wouldn't have to stay in New York and he could just retire if that was the case. So it sounds like, at least as of right now, he's saying that was mostly for that reason and not so that he could go and come back to the Lakers. So, Anthony, I guess, is this good news, bad news? How do you feel about Phil kind of strongly putting it out there that he is not planning to come back to the Lakers?
So here's how I'm going to take this, because Phil never says anything. It just means the direct meaning, right? Like you always have to read between the lines with Phil. And I think had the Lakers been in a worse spot, I think he definitely doesn't talk about how his opt-out was just a lockout thing. I don't think he goes that far. But I think with the Lakers kind of being in a pretty good spot, they're off to a good start this season. I don't know, you know, Jackie talked about the deadline, but if they're competing for the playoffs, I think that kind of sort of like that kind of sort of meets that deadline. And I think
The deadline is technically the second round is what they originally it was title contention, but mm-hmm. now it's the second round of the playoffs. And
that one.
So, I mean, barring an act of God, the Lakers aren't going to get there. But I did write today that I don't see why if they continue to make progress like they've been making progress, why would you move on from the current regime and bring in somebody totally new with a totally different vision?
Well, and the other thing, too, is Jeannie is a business person, right? Like she's watching this from a business standpoint, and you can't go to those games. You can't sit in those stands and not notice how much fans seem to like this team, seem to have bought into this team with Luke at the head, a group of young players, you know, a fun playing style. And I, like you're saying, it doesn't make any sense to go away from that, not just from, you know, the message it sends to the players who I don't think would react very well to this, but to the fans as a business move. It doesn't make very much sense to say, hey, yeah, I know we're making actual tangible, you know, objective progress, but here's this other guy, you know.
Hey, you remember how fun it was when we went around from that guy who was just spewing crap all the time and now have like a fun team that plays a fun style of basketball? We're going to do a new thing. It's going to be more newness. Everybody likes the rebuild. We're going to do a different new direction and talk about more new directions.
And people are, here's what I think Laker fans deserve credit for. And there are always going to be the casual fans who don't quite understand this aspect of the conversation. But Laker fans seem genuinely invested in this style of play.
Yep.
And this style of play means the pace and space. It means the analytics movement. It means this all-encompassing thing that Phil Jackson is not. So if you say, all right, I know you guys have really bought into and enjoy watching this type of basketball, but here's a triangle offense. How fun is that? And we haven't seen it work in, you know, 5 or 6 years. So, yeah.
Hey, maybe that's just what D'Angelo Russell needs, right? That they say that, you know, Phil, he made all of those great players work in the triangle offense. Maybe that's exactly the thing that's going to unlock his breakout year.
Don't even say that because you'll get people buying into it.
Smell the incense of the Phil Jackson era. Get ready for it.
No, weed was just legalized. Like, that's not incense anymore. We can actually say that it's marijuana.
Okay, I am not responsible for anything that Anthony says on the podcast. I'm just going to leave out that disclaimer right now.
So I guess what I was starting to say was that if you read between the lines, I think if the Lakers were in a worse spot, I think he would be perfectly fine planting the seeds of people starting to think, hey, is this a possibility?
Does getting the savior, the we want Phil chance going.
Right, you're right. He'd be perfectly fine doing that. But the Lakers are making progress, and it's impossible for anybody to say that they are not. And with that going on, it doesn't make any sense for Phil to try to weasel his way into that situation. Because and weasel, for lack of a better term, I don't think he's an actual rodent, but if it doesn't make any sense for him to like angle for the position, given the fact that the Lakers are fun, man. They're fun and people are buying in. And I think people would be more annoyed if, you know, Phil openly positioned himself for the role.
And, you know, I do a lot of fact checking of you on this podcast, but my new favorite fact check in podcast history may be you reminding our listeners that Phil Jackson is not an actual weasel. Phil Jackson, he is a human being. He's not weasels working a complicated android that only they can understand. Mm-hmm. That is according to sources. Mm-hmm. Anthony Irwin, you heard it here first.
This is big information, man. Otherwise, yeah, he'd be like the oldest weasel in the history of weasel kind.
Yeah, so anyway, I think it's probably a good time to discuss, you know, aside from the fact that all of this could be BS because, you know, again, we should all be shocked that him and Jeannie Buss aren't willing to admit to collusion and that they'd like to work together, right? Like, even if they did, they couldn't admit it because the NBA would file tampering charges. So, you know, like, there's that issue in play. But even putting that aside, let's take everything that everybody's saying at face value. Like, why? I don't understand. Other than the fact, I guess I understand it. Phil Jackson won 3 titles here. He's a Los Angeles legend, but I don't understand. It's like they say, you can't go home again. I don't know why people would want him back. What from his Knicks tenure is making people want him back? So I thought it might be fun for us to discuss what we think are Phil Jackson's top 5 moves with the New York Knicks. I'm willing to let you go first unless you had more on the previous topic.
Nope. We're good. The top 5, the number 1 move has to be bringing Sasha Vujacic back.
Oh, you threw me off. I mean, I'd agree, but no, seriously.
No, it's Porzingis, and it isn't close.
Yeah, well, it's Porzingis, so I guess second. You know, you took mine.
You had to have planned for that.
So I'm scrolling through. You know, it's not trading Tyson Chandler for Jose Calderon, Wayne Ellington, Shane Larkin, and Samuel Dalembert, and 2 second round picks. It's probably not that.
I don't think so, because the second round picks haven't turned into anything either.
Yeah, so it's probably not. Is it Robin Lopez finding out that he was traded by the Knicks? Because he saw Brooke Lopez's text messages?
I mean, if you're saying that trade was a great one, then you have to say that you enjoy watching Derrick Rose play basketball.
Yeah, hey, they freed up some cap space this summer, right? Did they sign anybody good?
They got Joakim Noah for $72 million, and they're already benching him.
Oh, so that's not... That's not great, no. Especially, you know, given the Porzingis thing.
Well, and the other
cool thing... You know, he's probably best long-term as a center.
The other cool thing that they did was they hired Jeff Hornacek, and Phil then put Kurt Rambis in charge of the defense, and Kurt Rambis was not a great move last year, nor will he be this year. At least they were patient with Derek Fisher.
Yeah, so I guess there was that. I guess... Hey, positive. It only took like 5 games for there to be rumblings that Phil was unhappy that they weren't running enough triangle. And then for him to kind of deny that and kind of not to McMullen, like he said, he wasn't mad about it. But then he went on to talk about like how the triangle has similar spacing concepts and all this stuff. Like, you know,
That'd be like me. So that'd be like me talking to you about a restaurant that we want to go to. And then I say a steakhouse and you say, Anthony, I'm a vegetarian. I can't go to the steakhouse. And I would say, well, it's grass fed steak. It just doesn't work.
Yeah. Okay. So is that 5? Did we get to 5?
I think we got to 5, but I only counted 1 good one.
Okay, I mean, yeah, it's pretty bad. I think that pretty much illustrates it. It's
right.
It has not been. He drafted Porzingis, but other than that,
and then you know. for much of this year, he's been played out of position and have people questioning what he might actually be when he's a center and he should be playing center with Carmelo Anthony at the 4, and they finally brought that out tonight. After benching, they had. In order to make that work, they had to bench Joakim Noah, who they spent $72 million on this year, which means either they made a terrible investment in Joakim Noah and they just paid Joakim Noah $72 million to be their backup center, or they were going to try to play Kristaps Porzingis out of position there, and in that process, negating whatever goodwill Phil developed by drafting Porzingis in the first place. So,
oh, hey, actually, I found another good move, not bringing Kurt Rambis back as head coach this summer.
That's all right. Way to go.
So that's number 2.
But he's heading their defense. He's heading their defense. So
Okay, that drops it to three.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Yeah. So I mean, I think the point is, for those of you that stuck with us through that sarcasm fest, was, you know, there hasn't been a whole lot in New York that makes you go like, yeah, I want that guy running the Lakers.
Right.
He's doing a great job.
Especially like I will grant everybody that the Lakers are coming off of a really unimpressive loss in Minnesota, right? Which we've already spoken about. We've already spoken about how the schedule had a lot to do with it. Playing a back-to-back, you know, on the road before you come home. That was never going to be a very good third game in four nights kind of situation. That was not going to turn out well. And after watching the game for the first time, you really saw that the Lakers just didn't have their legs. And
yeah, they just looked out of sorts for the most part. Other than that run that the bench made in the second quarter, they looked just out of it the whole night.
Even while the bench was kind of getting them back into it, you can kind of see guys on the team like, oh yeah, we're back into it. Like, oh. Cool.
I don't know if I observed that, but
the point I was going to make is, even coming off of that win, the Lakers are still, I feel like, miles ahead of where the Knicks are in terms of how excited fan bases should be about their respective teams. And if you're going to go ahead and say, if you're just basing it off of what have you done for me lately, given what we just talked about with Phil Jackson, and given what we talked about earlier with the current administration, the current organizational structure that we're seeing with the Lakers, there's no argument to be made in Phil Jackson's case. None whatsoever.
Yeah, I mean, the only thing that we have to acknowledge is that the Lakers just signed Luol Deng to the same deal that Joakim Noah got, so that thus far has not looked fantastic. So we have to, and that they're coming off the three worst seasons in franchise history. So, I mean, we've just mocked the Knicks and Phil Jackson a whole bunch. But I 100% agree, that being said, that the Lakers have a way more promising young core.
But even
I don't think that that's up for debate. The Knicks' young core is Porzingis.
Even with that said, with Luol Deng, the Lakers don't have to play Brandon Ingram out of position for Luol Deng to also be effective. Now you have to do some creative, you know, formatting so that Luol Deng can play at the four with Brandon Ingram at the three. But it still can be, those two guys can play together. Whereas Kristaps Porzingis and Joakim Noah cannot play together. We've seen that enough this year. So
yeah, that pairing is not.
We kind of lost you a little bit there.
Okay, well, that I was just saying, that pairing is not looking promising, that's for sure.
Nope, not at all. All right, I hope I wind up not looking. We can't go back on this tape and add it to the collection of my terrible take Tuesdays, but here we are. You said you found a couple, and I would imagine they feature one Julius Randle.
Yeah, so, you know, I've made fun of you a lot lately for your terrible Randle takes over the summer. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's not to say that I thought that Randle was going to be this good. I didn't. I thought he was going to be better than he was last year, and he's proven that so far. You know, you are much lower on Randle after Summer League. So mm-hmm. I'm going to give a shout out to, I hope, listener, but at least Anthony Irwin Twitter follower at Mr. J. Lindsay for bringing some of these to my attention and then inspiring me to go and find some more. But so we got, for Terrible Take Tuesdays from Anthony, we got on looks like July 20th. We got a tweet. 1, Randle needed to play in Summer League. Not doing so was a mistake. 2, what does he hope to be in the NBA? 3, damn it, I only said 2 cents.
I still think not playing was a mistake. Now, I don't think it was a cataclysmic mistake that
it, how, oh, I gotta hear it. How was it a mistake?
Huh?
How was it a mistake?
How is not playing more basketball for a young basketball player a mistake?
I mean, it worked out. I don't know how it's a mistake in this case. I could see how you could say it was not great process, but it worked out. So I would say it's not a mistake.
Results-based analysis isn't lazy at all.
No, it's not. This is different than that. It's like it's going back and determining if something actually was a mistake rather than predicting for the future whether or not something was good process.
I'll say this. We've already had this conversation, but how does it hurt him? Unless he actually gets physically hurt, which, based on what we've seen so far, he hasn't even come up limp at any point this year.
Yeah.
Right. So.
Well, you just jinxed him. So.
Ah, frick. That was me.
All right, that was Anthony knocking on wood.
But I was actually knocking on my head. You crazily enough, but the. Yeah, with Randle, I just don't see how it hurt him, and him not playing, I'll still maintain that it would have been nice to see him get a few minutes, especially alongside Nance, considering how much we've seen Luke Walton likes to play those guys together. So it would have been nice to get a few reps in before the actual season.
I agree with that. I think we're having a semantic difference on mistake versus process, whatever. Mm-hmm. But yeah, okay, that's fine. So I got another one.
We aren't going to yell at each other for the next 15 minutes? Listeners, no. Would you prefer that we do that? I hope people don't prefer that.
Embrace debate. But so, like, we can all hope he develops into X, Y, or Z, but we also have to be somewhat realistic.
Mm-hmm. All right, so, I actually just made this point on Twitter. I'll ask you directly. What is he? Other than good, other than
Julius
what he's
Randle.
Been, well, right, but I mean, what does that mean?
A playmaking four who can switch defensively.
All right, cool.
So I hate player comps. If people can't pick that up or they haven't picked it up by now, so this one's actually not that terrible, but it was kind of funny. So you said, like, you have these ones, the comps Laker fans have for, this is a couple tweets, but the comps Laker fans have for Julius Randle might be the funniest things on the internet. Quote, I could see him as a Magic MJ combo, really. And then you say, you're setting your sights too low. If he could just develop a jumper, he could be a Wilt Bill Russell type. And then, hey, you did say Randle very well might be good, but get these comps out of comment sections everywhere. You look dumb. So that's Anthony calling our fans dumb.
Good Lord, I'm a condescending prick.
Yeah, and then so we're going to go back to Summer League, July 9th. So you're talking about Nance during a game. I guess his defense was causing all kinds of problems.
You're going to want to... Or say that one more time, you kind of cut out.
So Nance's defense is causing all kinds of problems for Simmons, was what Andy Bailey said. And then you quote tweeted him and said, he, being Nance, is becoming a major crowd favorite out here. Randle should be a little concerned, maybe more than a little.
Damn it, I wish I would have just stopped after that first sentence. Like, why couldn't I just stop? Why didn't you take my phone away from me?
And then he responded that most people thought that Nance should play over Randle. And you said, I actually think Randle gets traded this season. So rumor, Anthony predicts Randle trade. All right. I got one more.
Why didn't anybody aggregate that?
Yeah, I don't know.
Laker Pulse, get on it.
So somebody said, I don't know why you'd play Randle and Nance together. You can't keep Nance off the court. He's special, so you do the math. And you responded, yeah, I was thinking this yesterday. Randle might be on the move, and I wouldn't be all that upset over it.
Yeah, man. I sound so dumb, like, in hindsight. Like,
sound dumb in hindsight. I'm sure people could go back and find dumb tweets of mine.
Right, if I would have just gotten off that freeway, like, three exits sooner, then, hey, he's going to be traded.
I tried to warn you, like, hey, you got to slow down, man. Like,
you never did.
Very much did.
You were passing me drinks as I was sending these tweets.
Yeah, okay, you caught me. But anyway, so...
I said this earlier, again on Twitter, that's the most wrong I've been on a player.
Yeah, I think that we should challenge our listeners to what's the most, you asked a good question at the Lakers Twitter meetup the other day. What's the most, you asked all of us what the most wrong we've ever been about basketball was. And mm-hmm. So I think that that's a good question for our listeners. We'd love to hear from you guys. So at us, at Locked On Lakers, at HM Fagan, at Anthony Irwin LA. And
Let's make this a review game. We'll read the best ones on show. Make sure you review the show on iTunes, preferably with a 5-star review.
No, 5-star review and your worst basketball take, and it'll get read on air.
Yep, that's what we're doing. All right,
this is how we plan for these things. It's just live on the air, shooting from the hip. But
right. We're moving on to the Brooklyn game tonight, and both teams are coming in off of really ugly losses, blowout losses, and the Lakers are fortunately, they'll have a little bit of rest, and Brooklyn's most important players are going to have a little bit of rest because they just got smoked by the Clippers with a few key players sitting in the first place. I don't have a line in front of you, but I still think the Lakers should be favored by, I'd say, 7.5 points. That's what I would set it at.
It should be pretty hefty because not only did the Nets just play a game tonight and lose, but they're now spending another night in L.A.
Yeah, that's also true.
That is, like we talked about the Wolves as a schedule loss for the Lakers. It was their third game in four nights. This is kind of a schedule loss for the Nets. So the Lakers should probably win this one tonight.
So the Brooklyn Nets are having a Monday fun day. Like, everybody get out there and predict that.
But no, I mean, I think, speaking of terrible takes, I think that this does kind of go back to some of the stuff that we've talked about throughout this show about people being wrong in the preseason. Like, the Nets have actually been somewhat respectable this year. They're averaging a 0.5. They're outscoring their opponents by 0.5 points per 100 possessions. So that's not like amazing, but that's middle of the league. That's not the worst mark in the league. Like, some people peg they'd be like one of the worst teams in the league. They've been respectable, and the Lakers have been respectable. And so I guess it just kind of goes to show that really we don't know anything.
You talked about, you know, rethinking expectations with Brooklyn. I still think they're going to be the worst team in the league. Like, they've been bad or whatever, but I don't.
They're 4-5.
Or, I mean, they've been better than advertised or whatever, but I don't think that it's going to hang there. Like, eventually they're going to fall off, I think.
I think Philly's going to be the worst team in the league. But, yeah, I mean, the Nets are going to be down there.
And the Pelicans and the Nets. Like, I have all those teams grouped together.
Man, the Pelicans are depressing.
Yeah, well, they just beat the Celtics tonight. So, according to math, correct my math if I have this wrong, but the Lakers beat the Pelicans by 24, I believe it was.
Something like that.
The Pelicans then turn around and beat the Celtics. Therefore, the Lakers are better than the Celtics, and the Celtics are their entire organization is a bust.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
I think that's kind of, look, you guys can correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm just giving facts.
Yeah, it's the facts all. I don't see anything but facts.
Nothing. Yeah, facts only. Hashtag facts only. So what would be the key for you for what's the one thing you're watching for in this Brooklyn game?
I mean, I think it's the same thing it's been for a few games now, right? We want to see that big performance from D'Angelo Russell. I think that's kind of what or at the very least, even if it's not some explosive box score, I want to see him play well enough that he closes over Lou Williams.
Yeah, and
which is not a sentence I thought I'd be saying heading into the year.
That's true. But Brooklyn doesn't have a defensive point guard like Ricky Rubio's defense is underrated, right? People don't quite give him credit for how good he is defensively. Russell struggled against Westbrook, and then he struggled early in the season against George Hill. And he struggled, basically quick defensive point guards have given him issue. And the Nets, I do not believe, have anybody like that on their team that are definitely of the caliber of the guys I just mentioned. And so the Lakers should be able to take care of, Russell should be able to get back on track here with a solid game. I'd be kind of sort of disappointed if he wasn't around, the 17 to 20 point range tomorrow.
Yeah, the backcourt the Nets started tonight was Sean Kilpatrick and Bojan Bogdanovic. Yeah. So I think Russell should be able to take a little bit of advantage there.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Jeremy Lin might be back tomorrow. I'm not really sure on that right now. But even if he is, I think this should be a good matchup for Russell.
Right. And it should be a good matchup for all the Lakers. They play too fast, I think, for Brooklyn to be comfortable with. And they're going to be playing at home. And like you said, Brooklyn's legs might be heavy for whatever reason, and it might have nothing to do with an extra night in LA. But
maybe like Steph Curry, they're going to go and see like a midnight showing of Deadpool before they play the Lakers. That worked out for the Lakers last year in March.
I'd be perfectly fine with that. Doctor Strange has been out for a little while, but oh no, you know what movie is coming out this week is the new Harry Potter movie. Maybe there's a bunch of Harry Potter fans on there.
Brooke Lopez is definitely a Harry Potter fan.
Yeah. So just somebody invite Brooke Lopez over to their place for a midnight showing.
Locked on Lakers fans, get out there. And well, I guess you're listening to this on Tuesday. Try and get Brooke Lopez to come to an afternoon showing of Fantastic Beasts with you.
Yeah.
And just like buy him a bunch of popcorn and soda.
Yeah. He might have rushed. Well, he didn't play tonight. I don't think Brooke Lopez didn't play tonight. So he's obviously getting ready for a late showing of Fantastic Beasts. And
where he was. He DNP Harry Potter.
Hey, that I'd take that DNP. That does it for this episode of the Locked On Lakers. We should have a special show for you guys scheduled tomorrow after the game. I'm going to go live for a little bit on Facebook, just kind of talk about the game a little bit. And then afterward, I'm going to record a show with a guest that I've been looking forward to talking to for quite a while. Harrison will be at the game, so he will not be on the show tomorrow. So that's something also to look forward to.
Yeah, you guys can look forward to that.
It like eats at you just a little bit. It's a little visible.
A little.
It's an audio format, so you guys can't quite see it. But I can see it. I can see it, and it eats at them. Make sure you're following the show on Audio Boom, iTunes, Silver Screen and Roll, TuneIn, Stitcher, and Today's Fast Break. Use that promo code LOLakers on SeatGeek to get a $20 rebate. We will talk to everybody, like I said, right after the game. And then I'm going to add the second half of the show afterward, after my conversation with our guest. Look for that half of the show or that portion of the show the next day on those outlets, and we will talk to everybody then. Have a good one. Shouts to Jeremy Lin.